It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Welcome. Welcome to Money for Lunch. You know, I wanted to put a plug in for our good, brave men and women of the military. And the, really the work that they do. And interestingly enough, this weekend, I was back in Columbus, Ohio. I was hanging out with Schwarzenegger and a couple other people. And one of the people I was hanging out with is Randy Couture, UFC champion and retired Army sergeant. And we were talking about Trump's idea of he wants to have a military parade like they do in France, right? And the millions of dollars that that might cost and all this. And first of all, I've talked to not just Randy Couture, but other veterans. And so far, none of them are excited about this military parade. Give me your thoughts. Should our military people have a parade to go down Washington? You know, I'm all for celebrating our military folks. But some of my thinking is, would this money be better spent on our veterans versus a parade? And anyway, so far, the feedback I've gotten is, let's not have the parade. Let's invest the money in our veterans. And it just so happens that, speaking of veterans, today on the show, we have veteran disability attorney Francis Jackson. Francis Jackson is the attorney who specializes in disability law for those seeking veterans disability benefits and Social Security disability benefits. A founding partner of Jackson McNichol, he has been featured on NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, network affiliates around the country. He most recently appeared as a guest of Ben Glass on the Consumer Advocate Show, discussing benefits for veterans and Social Security disability benefits and how his practice allows him to make a difference in the lives of the people facing these disabilities. He has been quoted in USA Today and is listed in Cambridge Who's Who. Mr. Jackson was honored by the National Academy of Best-Selling Authors with a Quilly Award. And in September of 2012, it was awarded in September 2012 for his contribution as a joint author in the Amazon best-selling book, Protect and Defend, where he wrote about one's rights to veterans' disability compensation. In 2017, Mr. Jackson was inducted into America's Most Trusted Lawyers for his outstanding work in disability law. For more information, you can visit veteransbenefits.com. That's veteransbenefits.com. Francis Jackson, welcome back.
Thank you, Bert. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
You know what? I'm excited to have you on the show. A lot of things are happening in the news about veterans and the VA and stuff like that. But I wanted to ask you, when it comes to, let's say, our older disabled veterans who, let's say, have served in World War II, Korea, as well as their families, are these veterans, are they eligible for benefits?
Yes, Bert. There are actually several types of benefits available to them, assuming that they have a general or an honorable discharge. As you know, a dishonorable discharge bars benefits. But as long as they have the appropriate discharge, there are several types of benefits that are available. Two that are sort of specific to the World War II era are, number one, a special provision for VA benefits to be paid to non-military personnel who served in the Merchant Marine. That's the only provision like that there is, but Congress decided that sailors who served in the Merchant Marine during World War II because of the extraordinary risks they took with being torpedoed by submarines and such things deserve to be treated as though they were veterans and granted special privileges to allow benefit payments normally reserved for veterans to that group of people. So that's one. The other one that is special and unique to World War II is and Korea is the presumption of eligibility for people who were prisoners of war. As you recall, Japan held a number of Allied troops prisoner at various times during the war and under very difficult conditions, so that Congress established a presumption that if you suffer from certain kinds of diseases, most of which are pretty rare, malaria is probably the most common, and there are others like beriberi and so on, so that there is a presumption that if you suffered from those diseases and have residual effects, those are presumed to be service-connected, so you don't have to jump through the hoop of proving that your time in service caused those problems. You can go directly to establishing the severity, if you will, of those problems. And then, of course, all the veterans from that period are eligible for either pension or compensation, depending on their particular situation.
Gotcha. You know, that's kind of cool, though, that these sailors, these merchant marines, were recognized for their heroism, you know, their willingness to take such risks. I think that's kind of cool.
It is. It's sort of an unusual chapter in American history, but if you recall your history, America was pumping out what they call Liberty ships, and those sailed primarily to Europe, especially over the northern route into Russia to supply all kinds of military equipment to the Russians to let them continue to stay in the field. They simply didn't have the manufacturing capacity left after the German invasion to be able to effectively produce the kinds of weapons and ammunition needed for something as big as the Russian army. So that was supplied primarily by American sailors delivering the stuff through the Liberty ships and taking enormous risks given the extensive submarine activity by the Germans.
Yeah, no, that is amazing. I like it. I love it when our government does stuff like that. That's really cool. All right, so let me ask you this. Do veterans have to have been injured in combat in order to receive benefits?
No, they don't. Veterans from World War II and the Korean era are eligible for both the basic types of benefits, both non-service-connected pension and service-connected compensation, regardless of whether they were injured in combat. And, you know, that is applicable, of course, to veterans who served in any time of war, but it certainly is applicable to those in World War II and Korea.
Now, let me ask this just out of curiosity. The flip side of that question is, are there different benefits for those who were injured in combat?
Well, that's one of those questions that you have to answer sort of. the way it actually works is, for most veterans, as you and I have talked about, what you have to do is to establish that some particular event or illness occurred during the service, and normally that requires that you show the paper trail, you know, some treatment while they were still in service, or various other kinds of things, you know, showing that a particular attack happened, that sort of thing. But when people were injured in combat, Congress enacted a special statute, a special law, that says that if the injury or illness that the veteran is suffering from is one that is reasonably shown to have occurred in combat, even though the event wasn't recorded because of everybody was busy fighting, then the veteran can establish that with just his own lay testimony in certain circumstances without the need for official corroboration of the event. And so that's a big plus for those who served in combat. Kind of round out that discussion, Bert, the other piece of that is if you were in combat, even if you weren't injured as a result of enemy fire, say, for example, that you were in a Jeep and the driver is injured, not you, and the Jeep flips over.
Right.
You're not technically injured in combat, but because that was an event that occurred in combat, you are still eligible for that special presumption that I was talking about.
Gotcha. Yeah. And again, that kind of makes sense. So I like that. All right. Are there benefits for older veterans whose disabilities are not related to their military service?
Yes. Any of our older veterans who served in World War II or the Korean War, or younger veterans who served in other periods of war, but we're talking specifically about older veterans here, are still eligible for a benefit called pension, non-service-connected pension, which I mentioned a minute ago. And what that is, Congress decided that even though veterans, like everyone else, are eligible for basic compensation if they have disabilities under the SSI program, they wanted to do something a little better than that for veterans. So there is something called non-service connected pension. And if you served in a time of war and are now totally disabled, even if your disability is not in any way connected to your military service, you can still receive a basic pension, and that currently the benefit is about $13,166 a month, sorry, a year, excuse me, and that obviously is a better deal if you compare it with SSI, which only pays $750 a month. So that's a step up. The other thing that is kind of interesting about the pension is that there are some kind of incremental increases in the amount depending on your circumstances. So,
right.
For example, $13,166 if you're the veteran, but if you have a spouse, the benefit goes up to $17,241 under the current amounts. And for veterans who are not only disabled but are what the VA calls housebound, meaning that you have special restrictions that make it difficult for you to function outside your home, you need attendance and that sort of thing, then the benefit for a veteran by himself excuse me, goes up to just over $16,000 a year. And if you're in that situation and you have a spouse, then the benefit goes up to just over $20,000 a year. So those are some of the ways that Congress has tried to improve the lot of veterans as opposed to ordinary civilians who didn't take the risk of being in the military. And so they, if those folks, as you know, if they don't qualify for any other benefits, are eligible just for the minimum SSI benefit of $750 a month. So it's a little better. It's not nobody's going to get rich, but it's
right.
A little bit additional benefit for people who took the risk to serve our country.
Yeah, you know what? And like you said, you're not going to get rich, but it's every little bit helps at the same time, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, certainly does.
Interestingly enough, yeah. So interestingly enough, you mentioned the family, sometimes the spouse. Or I think you said specifically the spouse, gets some benefits as well. So, kind of prompts me to ask: are there benefits for the families of these older veterans?
There are, Bert. There are actually two separate kinds of benefits. One type of benefits is for disabled children. And what that means is they have to show that the child became permanently disabled as of 18, as of age 18 or earlier. And so if you have a child who was born with perhaps cerebral palsy or mental retardation or just a variety of other disabling conditions,
right,
as long as that condition was totally disabling before the child's 18th birthday, the VA will pay monthly benefits regardless of the person's age. Those benefits continue on until the end of the person's life unless they recover. So that's one type. The other type of benefit that's available for families is a benefit for spouses, specifically spouses of wartime veterans. And it's a fairly modest amount of benefit. It's currently $8,830 a year, which is, as you can appreciate, is quite low. In fact, it's slightly below SSI. So ordinarily, spouses are actually better off to collect SSI. But there are two things that are particularly important about this benefit. For the SSI program, as I think you and I have talked about, if you have financial resources, money in the bank, for example, you become ineligible for SSI. That is not true for pension. Are evaluated for pension based on your annual income, not your resources. So you might have a fair amount in a savings account or own a home or own even more than one vehicle and still be potentially eligible as a spouse of a wartime veteran to receive this relatively modest stipend. The other thing that's particularly good about it, since we're talking about its application for older people, is if the spouse has severe medical problems, the Veterans Administration takes into account the cost of their medical care. So even if their income is actually substantially higher than this $8,830 number, the medical expenses, if they exceed 5% of the person's person's income, can be deducted from the amount that's considered in terms of income. So, say for example, you have someone who has just to make it easy numbers, $1,000 a month in Social Security benefits, which obviously
right.
total 12,000 would be higher. But they also are spending $6,000 a year on medical expenses. The VA takes that off, so now effectively their income is $6,000 a year, and they would be eligible for a modest payment from the VA in addition to their other income because of these medical expenses each month. And so for many people, that becomes an important resource when they get to the point that they're having significant medical problems that cause high monthly expenses.
Okay, so if I'm spending, again, using your analogy, the $12,000 I'm spending, in this case, $6,000 a year in medical expenses, then my military benefit, my veterans benefit goes up?
Yes, what happens is normally, as I was explaining, if you reach this threshold of $8,830, then you don't get any benefit from the VA. So
right.
say you're perfectly healthy, you're doing fine, and you have $12,000 a year in Social Security disability benefits or Social Security retirement benefits, let's assume, since we're talking about somebody perfectly healthy, you get this $12,000. That's higher than $8,830, so you don't get any benefit from the VA. Now turn around 2 years later, you get very sick, you're having all kinds of medical expenses, and even though you're still getting that same $12,000, because you're spending $6,000 on medical, the VA treats you as only receiving an income of $6,000 and makes you eligible for some monthly benefit from the pension, which you wouldn't be eligible for absent those medical expenses.
Gotcha, gotcha. Oh, man. Well, all right, so let me ask you this. It sounds to me that if you're, again, let's say you're an older veteran now and you're just now starting to, need some of these benefits, what's the first step? Do they just go to the veterans website and fill out a form? How do they get their claim started?
Well, that's one way to get the claim started, Bert. Basically, what the VA has done, it used to be that anything at all you submitted to the VA in writing could start a claim, but it's gotten a little more complicated in an effort to kind of streamline their internal processes and make their claims processing more efficient. The VA now requires that when you initially file a claim, you use this kind of long and complicated form. You can get the form off the internet. You can't, at this point, submit it over the internet. You have to kind of download it and fill it out and send it in, but they're working on that, and I'm sure they'll get it so you can do it online. But the veterans groups, when the VA went to that system, complained really quite bitterly that was a real hardship for veterans who had significant disabilities to complete this long, complicated form. So the VA created kind of a shortcut, and what they did was they have a little one-page form that's called an intent to file form, and it's really just that. It's a statement that you intend to file for veterans benefits. And so you can send in this little one-page form, which you can also get off the internet, and that starts the clock, if you will, for measuring the veterans benefits that you're eligible for. And let me just back up one step. Normally, when you apply for veterans benefits, the benefits can only run from the date that you submit your claim to the VA. And so that's why this notice of intent form is so important, because what that lets a veteran do is to send that very simple form in saying, hey, VA, I need benefits. And then you have a calendar year from that time to actually submit the completed form and explain exactly what benefits you're applying for, explain why you're eligible for them, and so on. So that's kind of a compromise that Congress and the VA came to make it easier for veterans to start a claim, even if they are suffering from fairly severe problems that make it hard for them to sit down and do this long form. That gives them an opportunity to have somebody else come and help with the form or whatever, to get records, whatever they need to do to assist in their claim. And so that's basically how any veteran, whether wartime or not, would start their claim. The other thing, though, that it's probably worth mentioning, the pension benefit is generally an easier one for the VA to process. So
Right. Sometimes
if you're eligible for both non-service-connected pension and for service-connected compensation, you can start getting at least minimal benefits in quickly by applying for pension, because all you have to demonstrate there is that you served in a time of war and that you are currently disabled. So the VA can usually figure that out much more quickly than having to get the records and trace back and confirm that yes, you actually did have an injury to your back in 1943 while you were loading ammunition on the battleship or something. So it's sometimes helpful for people to start with a pension benefit claim, even though they actually have a service-connected disability and ultimately are seeking to have disability compensation, which, as you and I have talked about, pays a significantly greater benefit financially each month.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, I have been working with Mr. Francis Jackson for a while, and I cannot say this enough, that if you know of a family that needs help, maybe maybe they have been denied a claim. Maybe there's a veteran that you know, and he's just got some questions. Check out veteransbenefits.com, veteransbenefits.com. Get some information, get a second opinion, maybe it's a third opinion. Francis Jackson and his team have helped people. In some cases, he's had a claim that were denied and it had to go through an appeal process, and it took like, I think it was like, what, 7, 8, 10 years to get it finalized?
Sometimes, sadly, even more than that, Bert, but usually it's not that long.
Right, and so bottom line is, Francis Jackson and his team, this is their area of specialty. Veteransbenefits.com, check them out. Francis Jackson, I want to thank you so much for serving our veterans and stopping by and sharing today.
Bert, it's always my pleasure to chat with you.
Thank you so much. Good stuff there for veterans disability attorney Francis Jackson and his team at veteransbenefits.com. I cannot tell you how important it is to help our brave men and women who have served our country. They're due these benefits. They deserve these benefits. And sometimes they feel as though they're lost or misplaced or you know, that they get frustrated. And if you're dealing with a physical limitation or a mental limitation, you need somebody to help you. And this is what these guys do at veteransbenefits.com. Francis and his team, this is what they specialize in. So do not suffer in silence. Don't let your friends suffer. Help them out. And as always, my friends, I'm so grateful that you stopped by. Please share this program with everybody you know, especially our vets. And remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.